Today is Monday, March 18th, 2024. This is Quick Start from CBN News. I'm Dan Andros. Vladimir Putin wins another election. We'll have that top story and more on today's podcast, where we bring you news from a Christian perspective. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating, and you can email us your thoughts as well. quickstartpodcast@cbn.org. We'd love to hear from you. We're getting through the news of the cray together, and as always on this Monday, Billy Hallowell joins me to get through it. A lot to get to. Billy, on the Focus story, you're going to be looking at how there's a lot more Americans believing and feeling their religious beliefs are at odds with mainstream culture.
Yeah, lots of interesting stats in this new Pew Research survey, so we'll get into some of that today.
All right, looking forward to that. And on the main thing, Madison Seals has more on a possible TikTok ban. How likely is it? We'll get the details there, all coming up. Don't forget to subscribe to all of our CBN News podcasts. If you haven't already, hurry up and do so. DC Debrief with John Stolness every Friday, wrapping up the week in DC. And Newsmakers with Billy. One full-length interview each and every weekday. Don't miss those podcasts. You can subscribe in the description of this podcast episode. All right, housekeeping's out of the way here. Let's head on over to the news in 90 seconds. And the polls closed across Russia, but the outcome was never in doubt. Vladimir Putin has a fifth term in office now. And this is after he won 87.8% of the vote. But the U.S., Germany, the U.K., and others all have indicated they feel the vote was neither free nor fair, mostly due to the imprisonment and persecution of political opponents and other forms of censorship. Of course, the most prominent example of this is Alexei Navalny, who was killed after being imprisoned. He was the primary opponent of Vladimir Putin. His widow, Yulia, called him a killer and a gangster. And that is just ahead of the American elections coming up this year. And so we'll see how all of that plays out and continue to cover it on CBN News. And the EPA is looking to issue a final rulemaking this week in which officials have said will incentivize greater adoption of electric vehicles, but opponents are criticizing this mandate, saying the regulations, which are a key part of Biden's climate agenda, would force automakers to rapidly expand electric options. And before all the festivities focused on shamrocks and leprechauns and good luck wishes, there was truly something to celebrate about St. Patrick's Day. Reporter David Kithcart has more on this on CBN.com, CBNNews.com, about St. Patrick's ministry, which lasted 29 years, and he baptized over 120,000 Irishmen and planted 300 churches. Those are just some of today's top headlines. You can check out those stories and more over at CBNNews.com. Billy, I went over the 90 seconds there. I had to, because this story about St. Patrick, if you're not familiar with it, you've got to read it. I've got the link here in the description of this podcast episode. CBN's done a great job with I Am Patrick telling the story of St. Patrick, and a really incredible story. And according to David in his article, says what Patrick did was really lay the groundwork for Christianity. A remarkable story.
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, it's incredible looking back at history. The one sad thing to me is, and thank God we've done I Am Patrick and we've looked into this and we're putting it out there, because these holidays, they become more known for all these secular things.
Yes.
I mean, St. Patrick's Day is a drinking holiday. It's insane. I mean, and meanwhile, you're celebrating this guy who spread the faith everywhere, and that you don't even realize that in culture. So, you know, it's important we get back to the roots of these holidays.
Yeah, 100% agree there. Yeah, it's become a day of debauchery, most likely, or most in most places across the country. And so, yeah, we got to remember the true story, because it really is amazing. The details on this one, if you're not familiar, I mean, how he went off and was kind of taken into slavery, and his faith was renewed during that time. Just really incredible stuff. And I encourage you all to read it. And like I said, you can do so in the link to the description of this podcast episode. But we are going to head over to the Focus story right now. And an increasing share of Americans believe their religious beliefs are at odds with mainstream American culture. So what's going on here, Billy?
Yeah, you know, just in time for the election chaos, the Pew Research Center has a new survey out and asking a lot of really interesting questions of Americans about politics. And one of those questions had to do with exactly what you just said, whether or not people believe their personal religious beliefs are at odds with the mainstream American culture. And nearly half of citizens, 48%, said there's either a great deal or some conflict in this arena. That's up from 42% in 2020. So some might say, well, it's a little less than half, but that 6 percentage point increase is noteworthy. It shows that something is happening in the culture that does not line up with what is happening in people's faith. And again, you know, the culture is shifting, so I'm not shocked to see that. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next couple of years. But one other number that came out of that, which I thought was interesting, 29% of Americans said that they believe they're religious minorities, and that was up from 24% in 2000. So clearly there's a feeling that the tides are shifting.
Yeah. And what does it say about Americans who believe, or what they believe about the role of religion in public life?
So this number is very interesting. It was the highest in Pew Research history, from what I could tell. 80% of U.S. adults said that religion's role in American life is shrinking. So 8 in 10 people, you know, they're acknowledging what we've all talked about, you know, before. Just 18% believe that faith is gaining influence, which is actually very interesting to me that, you know, almost 2 in 10 people believe that. But yeah, the big number there was that, you know, it's 80% saying that it's shrinking. And when you start getting into, is this a good or a bad thing, right? Because people may have different reasons for why they're saying that. Nearly half of citizens, 49%, said that religion's influence is on the decline and that it's a bad thing. And that's an interesting number, because 57% of U.S. adults believe that religion's influence on American life is positive. So most Americans actually think that faith has a good positive influence over American life.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. And what does it say about citizens and what they think about presidents and their faith?
Yeah, this was, I thought, one of the most interesting parts of the survey. Americans' political affiliations, they did have an impact, it seemed, on their view of religion and public life. Republicans and those who lean towards the GOP, 51%, said that they believe it's important to have a president with the same religious beliefs that they hold. Just 25% of Democrats said the same thing. So that's interesting. When you talk about, you know, you need to separate your faith from the way you vote, that showed through in how people discussed the issue, right? If you were a Democrat, most of them were saying, it doesn't really matter if they share my beliefs or not. Republicans did want to see, again, that a president did have the same beliefs. But when it came to Joe Biden and Donald Trump specifically, people were asked, do you think that they are very religious? And 13% said that they believed Biden is very religious, and just 4% said the same about Trump.
Not a high number for either, though. what can we take away? What are the big kind of takeaways you think we should take from these research numbers, these polling numbers, these stats?
Yeah, I mean, I think they give a lens into what's happening. You know, people react, I believe, in these surveys to what they feel is happening in the culture. And so before an election, obviously the role of faith, Christian nationalism, that came up in the survey, of course, too, and whether or not people were aware of Christian nationalism, and not much had changed there. So, you know, the number of people who had heard the term versus not. So I only bring that up because I think this idea of, you know, are the Christians, you know, dangerous? Are there too many of them who want this influence? That's a big conversation point right now. So understanding where Americans stand on the role of faith in public life in an election year is a pretty important thing. And again, it gives us a lens into maybe the ebbs and the flows of the culture and where things stand.
Yeah, definitely. And this is one of the things that we will be talking about in the coming days and weeks and months here ahead of the election when it comes to Christian nationalism, as you mentioned there, because a lot of people on the left side of the aisle are trying to shoehorn in all regular Christians and put them under this umbrella of Christian nationalism, and it's defined different ways by different people. But a lot of people on the left, on the Democrat side, view this as a big threat and a big kind of scare term that they can throw out there to people. And so they're trying to find ways to bring that in there, as we mentioned with Heidi Prisbilla, I believe from Politico, but when she did an article about this, calling people who believe that our rights come from God, that they're Christian nationalists, I'm like, well, that's a lot of people. But you're going to see stuff like that heading into this election. And so it's certainly worth keeping an eye on and worth keeping an eye on for what how people are perceiving Christians ahead of this election.
Yeah. Lots to unpack here. And to be reminder, like, pray for the president.
Yeah.
Pray for whoever the next president is, and pray for the country, because that's what we need to be doing as believers.
Yeah. And remember that leaders rise or fall, not apart from the hand of God. He's sovereign over all things. So when leaders come up, they're in there for a reason. And as we see in scripture, that's not always a positive reason, right? It doesn't mean that God's endorsing whoever is in the office. It just means he's using whoever is in the office for a particular reason. So let's just keep praying that we're okay with God's will and that we're looking for God's hand in the things that are going on across the country. So appreciate you bringing those numbers to the table today, Billy, so we can get a closer look at that. We are going to head over to the main thing now. And despite having more than 150 million users, TikTok poses a threat to national security of the United States. Lawmakers contend that TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, is beholden to the Chinese government and demanding they sell or face a ban in the U.S. Senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, Rear Admiral Mark Montgomery, talked to Madison Seals about how likely a ban actually is and why it's in the best interest of our country. That's today's main thing.
Mark, I want to talk about a timely article published by your organization, Foundation for Defense of Democracies, called Five Things to Know About ByteDance, TikTok's parent company. Can you start by talking about what ByteDance is and how they operate?
Thanks for having me on. And, you know, I'm really happy to talk about this, you know, because it's the legislation's moved through the House and now, you know, it's going to be introduced in the Senate. And the president's already indicated that he's, you know, willing to sign it when it gets to him. So this is much closer to fruition than it's ever been in the past. And this is the third or fourth attempt at this kind of either divestiture or banning of TikTok. And this is clearly about divestiture. And the reason is exactly what you brought up. What kind of company is ByteDance? ByteDance is a company that is very closely aligned to and connected to China's governing party, the Chinese Communist Party, and its military-industrial complex. People look at it and say, well, it's just a tech company. No, it's not. It is actually part of military machinery. It was funded by the Ministry of Science and Technology. It's actually contributed back to the CCP by building the Beijing Academy for Artificial Intelligence. And look, it sits right at the crossroads of military and civil applications of artificial intelligence and cybersecurity. It works closely with Chinese universities to actually produce research for the Chinese People's Liberation Army, or PLA. Look, it not just in academia, but also in business, ByteDance is a fully integrated member of the Chinese military-industrial complex. It works with known Chinese military-linked companies, iFlyTech and SenseTime, and really some of the ugliest ones, the ones that are very, very crucial to the surveillance and repression of the Uyghur minorities in Western China. I could go on. They're linked to companies in the nuclear weapons program. They're linked to companies throughout the surveillance and defense sectors. ByteDance is a Chinese military industrial company.
Yeah, and that's so important to point out that it is not just a tech company, and it's not a tech company based here in the U.S. I don't think a lot of people even realize that either, a lot of the users especially. But as you mentioned, the House just passed a bill that would ban TikTok nationwide if its China-based owner, ByteDance, doesn't sell it. And the premise behind this bill is that the company's current ownership structure is a threat to U.S. national security. So I know you started to get into that, but do you agree with lawmakers that ByteDance is beholden to the Chinese government, and not only that, but that it poses a threat to us here in the U.S.?
No, exactly. And again, I think you said it perfectly. It is divestiture. It is, I'm not a big fan of TikTok. I have college-age kids. They tell me they're on TikTok. I hope they tell me the truth. So I think they're not. But, you know, I'm glad they're not. I don't think it's where I'd want my son or daughter to get their information or get guidance. However, that part of it, the content part of it, when properly administered, is fine with me. What's not acceptable is to have a foreign adversary or a country of concern. You know, here's what countries of concern are: China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, Cuba, Venezuela. Those types of countries should not own and be able to operate and control the algorithms of social media companies. And ByteDance inherently reserves that right, has that. And look, we've studied this. We've seen the results. Like, I can't break into the TikTok algorithm. I'm not going to claim that. But what I can do is see the product of their algorithm. And the product of their algorithm is clearly rigged to bring the user a broad disinformation campaign that is very specifically pro-Chinese, anti-American national security interest, extremely anti-Semitic, pro-Palestinian. And look, I don't care if members on TikTok are that way. That's their right. What's not okay is to have an algorithm set so that when you look at two databases that should be reasonably similar between, say, Instagram and TikTok, and have one 20 or 40 or 80 times more likely to put an image in that is consistent with Chinese national security interests and counter to U.S. national security interests, that's not acceptable. So what we're saying is ByteDance is absolutely beholden to Beijing. It's bound by Chinese state surveillance laws. It cannot be responsible for a major social media product. And therefore, if they sell it to American or even non-American allies and partners, investors, you know, have at it, you know, compete in the social media environment. But that algorithm needs to be administered by people who are not beholden to the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah, that's a good point, because there's a lot of people out there, especially young people, who probably think, okay, I know China's watching what I'm doing and capturing and storing information about me, but I'm just posting silly videos and watching reels. So what's the harm in that? But it sounds like what you're saying is it's not only what you're posting, but it's also the algorithm behind what you're seeing that could be potentially harmful. Is that right?
That's correct. So yeah, two things. I'm glad you brought up the data as well. So first is the algorithm. What's being fed to you is tailored to not just random nature of the people on the social media site, but instead is controlled by, you know, whoever, you know, controls the rheostat on the algorithm. And we have found that already it's been used to manipulate the system to drive pro-China content. And look, the reason I really think we're right is the minute that these reports came out, TikTok prevented you from seeing that data anymore. In other words, they're now practicing a lack of transparency. And, you know, as much as I'm not a big fan of Meta and Instagram either, they're letting you see it. All the other social media sites allow you to understand what's trafficking on their site. TikTok will no longer let you do that for fear that you'll point out the flaws in the algorithm. But you also mentioned data, and I want to get at that. Yes, they have all this data. And after a while, that matters. That data will matter to you. It's, you know, at some point they begin to understand how you think, what you're doing. It makes it easy for them to influence you. It makes it easy for them to obviously steal your identity. That goes without saying. I'm just saying, you know, the idea that this data is accessible by the Chinese state, even if it's maintained in the United States, as TikTok claims, if it's still accessible by ByteDance and therefore accessible by the Chinese intelligence community, you know, because of the Chinese state surveillance laws, then we have a problem with the data as well.
Yeah. So, Mark, in your opinion, if this bill does pass the Senate and is signed by the president, which it sounds like it will be, how likely is ByteDance going to sell? Or if they don't, how would a nationwide ban even work? It's kind of two questions in one.
Yeah. So, look, I'd like to believe it sells, because I feel for the investors, right? They made I wouldn't call it quite good faith. I think they had some idea what they're up to investment in this. But if it doesn't sell, it kind of proves our point, right? If what ByteDance says is we'd rather take a $100 billion loss than sell, than break from our Chinese overlords, then you kind of know the Chinese overlords are in control. So we'll have to see what happens. If it were to happen, and I, you know, hope it would, you know, it's not a great precedent to have to ban them, but we would do it if we say there's a problem with your ownership, we're uncomfortable with them national security wise, and you say effectively, to heck with you, I'm not selling, it's time for you to sell. Now it is time to ban you. If we ban them, I think what it would come down to is not making the app available on the larger operating system so that Google and Apple would not have the app in their app store, for example. Okay. And that's how you begin to divest it. And it doesn't get upgrades. It doesn't get improved. You know, so over time, you're not going to drop from $170 million to zero overnight, but you're going to very rapidly have people shift to other platforms. Probably a new platform will take its place. A new platform whose ownership is not in a country of concern like China.
Right. Yeah. Well, Mark, thank you so much for breaking down this important story and information for us.
Thank you for having me. And we'll have to see what the Senate does, but I expect passage.
All right, Madison, thanks so much for that story there. Really appreciate it. Obviously very critical. So many millions and millions of people here in America are on TikTok, and nobody really knows exactly how it's being used, but there's a lot of concern there, of course, especially heading into our upcoming election. So appreciate you highlighting that one, Madison. But that's going to leave us with time here on the podcast for one last thing.
2 Corinthians 5:7, for we live by faith, not by sight. Just a good reminder, especially in a chaotic year, to cling to our faith and not just the temporal things.
Absolutely. All right. Good spot to leave it here on the Monday edition of the Quick Start Podcast. As always, get yourself on over to cbnnews.com and faithwire.com for more news from a Christian perspective. Lord willing, and that creek don't rise on us. We'll be back here tomorrow with more. God bless. We shall see you then. Have a great rest of your Monday.